news station, WCNO, Palm City.
It's got the sword in the stained glass window.
Very apropos. Yeah. All right, let's get on to some things that have happened recently. You just returned from Tanzania.
Yes,
now,
sir.
I've been to Zimbabwe. I've heard of Nigeria, but where in the world is Tanzania? Yeah,
Tanzania is East Africa. It's just south of Kenya. Most people know Kenya. It's just south of Uganda. And it's probably the largest, I think it's the largest land mass country in East Africa. And it's well known for Mount Kilimanjaro, which is to the north, and the Serengeti Plain to the east and to the west and to the south, rather. And, of course, the Serengeti is well known for all of the animals, the big five, the lions and the water buffalo and the zebra. Anyway, I can't remember all the big five, but it's a beautiful place to go on safari. And we don't necessarily go on safari. We go to preach the gospel, but it's an amazing place. And we're grateful that the Lord called us there.
Yeah. And I understood you prayed to the Lord when you were there and you said, "So far, so good." I'm sorry.
There you go.
Now, I did have a prophetic vision before you left of some students of the Lord sitting beneath a tree, and actually came to pass. You were out beneath some trees preaching this trip, right?
Yeah, well, in fairness, there are quite a few trees in Tanzania. But yes, we spent some time under a tree and sharing the gospel. In that particular instance, in that place, we were out in the bush, and we were with some government officials, and we were sharing with the folks in this particular town. I think it was Kibiti, about the fact that we had brought corrective eyeglasses to help those who needed them. And of course, whenever we do that, we're not only bringing the corrective eyeglasses, but we're also sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, people don't realize there are people around the world who have cataracts that are entirely blind and will live out their entire lives blind because they didn't get a simple procedure of cataract surgery that we take for granted here in the USA. And these eyeglasses, you know, you can go into the dollar store and buy eyeglasses for $1.25 each. They may not be very durable. In my cheaper days, that's what I used to do, go and buy 10 at a time, you know, because I couldn't seem to hold on to them. But so these people are very appreciative to put on glasses and actually be able to read the Word of God.
Extremely appreciative. And of course, readers are really for people who are, you know, our eyes start changing in, you know, our late 30s, early 40s, something like that. And yet there's something about the Western missionaries coming to Tanzania that even the young people who don't really need the corrective readers want them. And so one of the tough things that we have to do is we have to say, listen, your eyes are great. They're perfect. And we can't give you the glasses because we need to save them for the people who actually need them.
Well, they want them because they look a fashion statement.
Yeah, it's a fashion statement. And one of the things we thought about is when we go back, you know, they're making glasses now for young people who are spending so much time on their phones that cut the ultraviolet blue light, I think, is ultimately damaging to your eyes. So when we go back, we're going to try to bring those glasses for the young people, and I think they'll be very happy to get them.
Hey, look, you can get 100 pairs of those cheap, but 100, they're not, like I said, not durable, but you can go to the dollar store and get 100 pairs for $125, and what a great gift to send to Tanzania. Now, Tanzania, what in the world is a pastor from St. Paul's, a church in Vero Beach, Florida, going to Tanzania? How did this come to pass?
Right. Well, Abella Kalambete, who is our ministry partner there, and I went to seminary back in the 90s at Alliance Theological Seminary in Nyack, New York. And we became great friends. I heard later, after I met him, that he came to the U.S. with literally no money in his pocket. And he worked his way through seminary by cleaning the bathrooms at the seminary, and it was just an amazing story. And he actually ended up, after he graduated from Alliance with me, both of us got Masters of Divinity from Alliance, and he went on and got a PhD from, I think it's Trinity Evangelical Seminary in Deerfield, Illinois, and And then he got a D.Min from the University of Hartford in Christian Muslim relations. So guy's incredibly well-educated, really, really bright, and probably one of the handful of people in all of Tanzania who have that level of education. So he's highly prized in Tanzania.
Well, I know if you go back a year or two, we have a big article on him wearing this vibrant outfit, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's outstanding. And came to find out that the reason he wore such an outrageous outfit was that's the only thing he had with him when he came here all the way from Tanzania.
Yeah, he showed up at class the first day in this bright orange African gown with the hat and the whole thing. And I think it was Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, this whole funny movie about the cultural differences between Africa and America. And really that was Bella Kalembete's story. You know, when he came to America, he didn't have a penny in his pocket. He had two changes of clothes and he didn't know what to wear on the first day of class. So he wore the most formal clothes that he had, which was this bright orange African gown. And so he walked into class that day and all eyes were on him. Like, who is this African prince who is among us?
You know, I was just thinking, I'm always being creative, of course. I was just thinking, I need to do some more interviews with him, because we just had somebody from Africa on recently while they were in Africa, you know? I was thinking, wouldn't it be great to take a local theater and have my show maybe lease the theater and then, you know, bring people in? Can you imagine him coming out onto the platform? And there's two chairs there, and I get to interview him all about Tanzania. And it's a remarkable story. There's another step of faith. I mean, are you telling me that this guy, I have to go back and read that article again. So this guy shows up in America with no money and ends up going to Harvard, ends up going to this theological seminary institute, whatever. I mean, so he probably went up to people and people said, well, you haven't got any money. They have to give so many students. So he got complimentary education. Is that what went down?
Yeah, I think that he basically worked his way through. In other words, yes, he got a good deal of financial aid. And of course, he doesn't have any student debt at this point. So I think that they were particularly sympathetic towards him and his situation. He didn't go to Harvard, but the University of Hartford.
Hartford.
Yeah, and Trinity Seminary in Deerfield, Illinois, a good evangelical seminary.
You know that Harvard started off as a theological school.
Absolutely.
As did Princeton. I don't know about Vassar. Name some of the others. They all started off as theological, and they slowly but slowly pushed God out of the campuses. Isn't it amazing how the arrogance of man doesn't want to accept the fact? I mean, you look at the intricacies of a single green leaf, or a ladybug, or the fact to look at our bodies. How do we ingest something and it turns into energy? We have lungs to breathe and kidneys to filter out impurities and water. To say there's not a God is like, it's just, frankly, it's like Forrest Gump said, well, I just won't say this, Captain Dan told me, and stupid is as stupid does, you know? I mean, who could say there's no God and look at all this creation? And by the way, in case somebody is viewing this online, that tree is a real living tree up above my head. I am broadcasting from Vermont. We're doing this interview summertime 2025. And Pastor John has just returned from Tanzania and also Vermont. You were up here and I believe seated at this very table outside with your lovely wife. And again, St. Paul's has a healing service on Thursdays at 11 a.m. over on Flame Vine in Vero Beach. So I understand. So how did you meet up with this pastor from Tanzania? Your body there has embraced him. And I guess churches need the tithe just like people need the tithe. And somehow he ended up being this pastor that you're helping support to build a church over there in Tanzania, right?
Right. Well, It's a little bit of an embarrassing story in the sense that so Bella and I went to seminary together. He actually lived with my parents at my parents' house in Connecticut for a year and a half while he was
Is that in Greenwich?
It's in Fairfield, Connecticut.
And I can tell. Well, hold on. I know that you have to be pretty affluent here's this guy that doesn't have the tuition to go, and he ends up living with you that comes from an affluent background. I mean, this guy has come up smelling like roses, right?
Well, and I think that that's right. I mean, I think the favor of the Lord was on him. He did not have the money, and yet the Lord kept opening doors for him. He lived quite well with my parents, but I can tell you that when it came time for him to leave and to move on, my parents were begging him to stay. He had been such a blessing to them. So,
But giving your house, having strangers come in, we had a student from China come in a few years ago, and his ghost is still hanging around. The good things, it's just, you open up your heart and God blesses and just good things happen, and particularly a man of God like this. So I think it's exciting. Now, you went back recently. Why did you and one of your congregants go back to Tanzania a few weeks ago?
Well, of course, I've been going since 2018, and our congregation at St. Paul's was very kind to give me a sabbatical in 2018. And they were giving me 3 months to do whatever I needed to do to rest and to reflect. And I said, well, I'll go back. I'll go and visit my friend Bella in Tanzania. And that's where we got reconnected. And he was living in a two-room mud brick home in the backwater town of Bariadi, Tanzania, and with no running, no clean running water and no electricity. And he had four children under roof and married at that time. So it was quite a remarkable change going from living with my parents in Fairfield, Connecticut, in the lap of luxury, going back to Tanzania and living in really extreme poverty. So we've been going back every year. It was in 2018 when my bishop, Ron Kuykendall, turned to Bella after, because he came and visited with me with Bella. And as we were getting ready to leave, he said, Bella, what can we do for you? And Bella said, can you ordain me? And with that, began this whole process of ordaining Bella. He was ordained as a deacon in the Anglican Church and then as a priest. And then he was ultimately consecrated as a bishop because there are so many people, his former students in Tanzania, who see him as a spiritual father. And so many, many of those students wanted to come under his spiritual care.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
We're thankful for that grace that has saved you, that's rescued you. Could you put your hands together with us? The King, yeah, my everything. I put my trust in you, Christ the King. Everything to you, oh, Christ the King, yeah, my everything. I give my life to you, Christ the King.